In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are bound to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths. Turn our minds to your wisdom and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Amos. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Hallelujah. Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised. Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high? The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust and lifts up the poor from the ashes. The Lord makes known the woman of a childless house to be a joyful mother of children. Alleluia. A reading from 1 Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and am a gospel. I am the telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal home. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lessons today draw our attention to wealth, power, and caring only about our self-preservation. In our first lesson, Amos is critiquing Israel in how their success is coming at the expense and exploitation of others. Israel has developed from a tribal to agrarian to monarchical to a commercial society. And now there is a critique on that society that has a disparity of people who are winners and losers, those who have and those who do not have. The wealthy see religious observance and devotion as a hindrance to making money. They're also being dishonest in how they're conducting their business. That's also what Amos has trouble with. And that deception is prohibited in Leviticus chapter 19, 36, and Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 to 16. Much of this criticism is timeless. We can see it in our own society. We can see it in societies throughout human history. And I would say for Americans in particular, as religious as we still claim to be as a society, I would argue that much of that is wrapped in identity and not practice. Where the heart of our nation is focused on the economy. It seems what we are always wrapped up in, individually and collectively. That's where our heart is. We know what Jesus says of where our heart is, what that means. We know what Martin Luther says, where our heart is, where our God, who our God is. And because our greed as individuals and as a society takes hold of us, we ultimately value people based on their economic value, which means there are people that are expendable. Now, to be clear, the scriptures, including Amos's criticism here, is about dishonest practices, not about the need to do business itself. Doing business is a normal part of life in that society, in our society today. It's when we do business in such a way that is dishonest that we're essentially stealing from people. You open up your small catechism under the commandment, thou shalt not steal. Luther unpacks that to say you don't sell shoddy merchandise. You don't engage in dishonest practices. And when you do that, you are violating the commandment, thou shalt not steal. And when reflecting on the character of God, we as God's holy people, as beloved children of God, are to be concerned with justice and mercy for the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner. So a majority of our society might profess a devotion to God with our lips, but our actions do not reflect the kind of people that God calls us to be. Think about those who are most often alienated. Our world, our society is not designed to really fully care for the elderly, the disabled, even children. I say this as a parent with young children. You go into a bathroom to try to take them to the bathroom and then wash their hands. Those sinks aren't designed wanting little kids to wash their hands, right? We don't operate in that way, right? We have some accommodations for people who are disabled, but we don't function that way. You're constantly pushed to the margins. And then, so it's based on economic value and worth. Everybody else is pushed to the side. And in our parable in Luke's gospel, the manager, for whatever reason, believes he can be somewhat reckless in dealing with his boss's property. When he's caught by his boss, he's clearly only looking out for himself. He's trying to win the favor of those who are indebted to his boss. If he does them a favor, then perhaps they'll return the favor when he's out of the job. What's odd is that the manager celebrates him for doing this. And it's the kind of behavior that's seen as a virtue. And we expect that to be celebrated in our society, in parts of our secular society, but to see it celebrated in the scriptures seems odd. The manager was playing with this property, and now his shrewdness is banking on the future. The dishonest manager is proven to be a survivor. He's looking out for himself. He might have been successful in this particular endeavor for self-preservation, but here's the thing. That capital and social capital might have saved his life for the moment, but will his shrewdness ultimately save him? Our faith in our own system and wealth might give us some salvation for today. But is it ultimate? Is it eternal? Our lesson from Amos is convicting, and our parable from Luke is perplexing. Convicted and also bewildered, we look to Jesus. We're called to embody the character of God, caring for the least among us in our society. We look to Jesus to show us how to do that. We repent, turn to our Lord, and are filled with God's love in Christ. We share the love of Jesus that we have received with all people, especially those most often neglected in our society, those most often exploited in our society, and those most often seen as expendable in our society. People like the dishonest manager can only cheat their way out so many times. It will catch up with them. We might find ourselves getting out of a hole here and there to live another day. Yet at the end of the day, we know that we cannot ultimately cheat and escape death. The good news is that Jesus' faithfulness that culminates on the cross gives us a place in the eternal home with God. Jesus is also shrewd, but the difference is that he did not come into the world to preserve himself. Jesus came into the world to give his life so that we and all creation would be reconciled to God. Now, Jesus seems to give some worldly advice. The need to have good connections. I know a few years back when we heard from Marian Matters and their model and trying to bridge people out of poverty in our community, they laid out how social capital is essential in bridging people out of poverty. It calls to mind the saying, it's not what you know, but who you know. Now, if you have connections that are purely of this world, that shrewdness can come back to bite you. Because if you're only dealing with people who are looking out to save themselves, then everyone is simply a means to an end. You have no, your only value is what can you do for me today? That's all you are to that kind of social network. We see the value of having good connections and relationships that are far more than a means to an end. The church, embodying the character of God, would not see people as a means to an end, but see the dignity of every person and minister to each one of their needs. And let us not also forget our connection to Jesus himself. Centered in the Word and strengthened in the sacraments, we're given a connection that brings about life and deliverance now and forever. We are free from having to scheme to survive another day, knowing that there is more to life than seeing people as objects and seeing wealth as a means of salvation. For we have a shrewd Savior who does not seek to save his life, but through that love poured out on the cross, seeks to save our lives. We are called to embody this character of God in Christ in how we live our daily lives in this world. Following the way of the cross means we will take risks. And in this congregation, we have taken many risks over the course of 186 years for the sake of the gospel. Many changes over those years. Even in the last 11 years that I have been called to be your pastor, we have seen many changes for the sake of the gospel. We've seen many changes just in the past 2 years in navigating through a pandemic. Are we going to be shrewd? Are we going to preserve our life as a congregation as we know it, or how it used to be? Or are we going to continue to embody the character of God, share the love of Jesus, and follow the way of the cross? Are we going to follow the way of Jesus that takes risks for others, seeking to liberate them and not just to save ourselves? Take risks, embodying and sharing and spreading the love, forming, nurturing, and strengthening relationships so that all people would know that they have a community and a home in which they are loved and where they belong always. We are called to be devoted to the one who gives us love and life in abundance now and forever. Beloved children of God, be shrewd like our Savior is. Embody the character of God that is reflected to us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we take risks individually and collectively so that all may know that they have an eternal place with God, now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God, God, our Savior, you keep your church in faith and truth. Accompany those preparing for baptism or affirmation of baptism. Enlighten preachers, teachers, seminarians, especially Adam, our pastor and conference dean, Daniel, our bishop, and Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, and all those who share your good news with the world. God of grace. Divine teacher, you instruct your children to be responsible stewards of your creation. Show us how best to care for the earth and its resources, and guide those who work to develop sustainable practices. God of grace. Ruler of the nations, you direct those in authority. Give leaders wisdom and compassion so that all may live in peace. Inspire public servants to follow the example of courageous leaders, especially Dag Hammarskjöld. And safeguard the dignity of each person. God of grace. Helper of the needy, you lift up those who are oppressed. Breathe justice into economic and social systems that perpetuate poverty and hunger. Sustain food ministries, clothing banks, and emergency shelters. Provide for those who are ill, especially Tracy, Maddie, Scott, Amber, Marjorie, Pat, Andrea, the family of Vincent Fisher Sr., Pat, Debbie, Candace, Betty, Stan, Barb, Jerry, Phyllis, Cheryl, George, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, Mark, and our homebound. God of grace. Sustainer and giver of life, you bless this congregation with abundance. Instruct us in the proper and faithful use of wealth and resources that we share generously. God of grace. Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade, Luke, and their chaplains. God of grace. God of glory, you gather your saints around your throne. Keep us thankful for the witness of those who have gone before us and bring us with them to the heavenly feast that has no end. God of grace.
Gathered together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age, the promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at this end of all the ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed the good news in word and deed, and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, O God, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us. And believing the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we who share in Christ's body and blood may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light. Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place, and unite them with the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest until he comes as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, forever and ever. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. We be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants and anyone participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. Ushers will have trays of glass cups and they'll release you forward. Just take a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. O God, our life, our strength, our food, we give you thanks for sustaining us with the body and blood of your Son. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be his body in the world, that more and more we will give you praise and serve your earth and its many peoples, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Announcements.
You are all invited to stay for a light lunch in celebration and thanksgiving of somebody's 40th birthday. We'll go ahead and sing the doxology as our table prayer.
I just want to thank everybody who made this luncheon in honor of my birthday possible, and for all of you. Being your pastor for the last 11 years, you have shared your life with me. And as I ended my 20s, spent all of my 30s, and now started my 40s with you, I am blessed to have been sharing my life with you as well. So I am grateful and blessed to be with you. As Christ sent us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thank you.
peace, serve the Lord.
Amen.